can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm sleepy. I didn't sleep last night.
Who?
Yeah. At 0 hours, I'm pretty sure. Maybe a few minutes here and there, but you know.
Well, we're recording post Labor Day weekend. And I literally did nothing most of the weekend. And so, of course, I'm very tired because I had all the time in the world to relax at my house.
So that was yesterday. We did nothing. Like, we did so little yesterday. We did like a smidge of yard work and a couple of things around the house, but really we didn't do anything major. And I could not tell you why I didn't sleep. I have no idea. I just literally went to bed. I felt like I was tired, and then it just never happened.
It was like 6 p.m. yesterday, and I was like, God, I'm exhausted from all of this sitting.
That is usually how I feel whenever I do nothing for the day. But I'm trying to do better about giving myself permission to do nothing and not feel bad about it.
Same.
That is something I have trouble with. So, yeah, I try really hard, but, you know, it's fine. I'm just tired today. I'm not really upset. The only things that I'm perturbed about, I'm probably just perturbed because I'm so tired. So, otherwise, I'm actually having a not bad day. How are you?
I am, like, scatterbrained as shit, but I'm good.
Love it.
Since recording last week, I've just been on this, like, chaotic train of excitement, I guess you could say. So yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, I feel like today is just, I don't know. I feel like the past couple of weeks have been kind of, I don't know. Like I've been trying to pull myself out of this weird malaise that I've been in. And I think it's like a similar thing to what you're experiencing, where I've just been kind of like dying for a change.
Yeah.
And nothing is happening. And like, yeah, it's not. And granted, I'm dying for a change, but nothing is happening because like change that I want takes time and it's slow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm trying to get a little bit more. I'm trying to meet life on life's terms as it comes to where I am at presently.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, so
it's
trying to do tough the best I can.
Yeah, and I would say since my breakup in late 21, I've always felt kind of like I held myself off. like things I wanted, things I liked and all for my ex. And so since then, I've been doing more to be like, no, what do you like? What do you want? Guiding myself to make sure that I'm taking care of myself first, which I'm not perfect at it, but I'm improving greatly. And one of the things that I have dwelled on numerous times in the past 2.5 years is selling my house and stop limiting myself. Like, maybe open myself up for more change if I'm just not as tied down.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And as of recording today, I have snagged officially an apartment.
Wow.
In downtown Oklahoma City.
Damn.
And in a couple weeks, I'm going to list the house.
Oh, my. Good for you.
I just decided that I'm very proud of what I've created with this house. I couldn't be more proud of what I've done. But I feel like it's time to let it go.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I built a lot here that I'm not proud of myself with. And so there's a lot of things that hold weird memories of me developing myself around what other people want or what other people's opinions of me are. And so I'm kind of feeling like now's the time to shed all that.
I mean, it makes sense.
And I think it's going to relieve a lot of, I don't know, a lot of what's built up inside of me that I feel stuck to.
Well, I also feel like owning a house is a double-edged sword, because on the one side, again, we've talked about it a number of times, but you build equity. So like, you're always building value in your house almost no matter what, unless you're burning it down every day.
But then it's insured.
Right, exactly. So, like, no matter what you do, you're going to build value in it, unless you're just, like, throwing so much money at it that you outprice the market. But then on the other hand, every time something goes wrong, you have to figure it out. And that is so annoying and so stressful.
Yeah.
Because it feels like there's always something.
And I wouldn't mind home ownership again. It's just, I don't know if I want my next home to be in Oklahoma. Well, I know it. I don't want it to be in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And that's the same for us. We're not going to buy another house in this state.
And so my whole idea of change has been, you need to get out of this, but you just need to wait until the right moment comes along in another state. And then finally I was like, you know, you don't technically have to do that. You can break free of this rut that you're stuck in here, rent, and if you don't like it, fucking go do something else.
I mean, that's not a bad idea, honestly.
And so,
take it for a spin for a bit. Get yourself something different.
Yeah. To be fair, I still got a 2-bedroom apartment, so you all can visit.
That is actually good, because I'm coming to see Hozier on the 26th of this month. And I was
going, I'll have an apartment by then.
I was going to ask you if I could stay with you. I wasn't sure if you were going to, like, still be here, honestly. And so I hadn't said anything yet, but I just found out a couple of weekends ago. I got gifted 2 tickets. I'm very excited. Okay, cool.
Well, I'm planning, unless the apartment just doesn't fit it, but I'm planning on even having new king size beds in there. So,
ooh, fancy.
I know. Look at you. So within the next couple weeks for sure, I'm going to be shifting everything into this apartment that I want to keep, and then literally purging and selling a majority of the stuff in my house.
Nice. Congratulations. That sounds exciting. I'm a little jealous.
I'll be honest, for someone who grew up poor and is proud of everything he's gained over his years of, like, I don't know, air compressors and pressure washers and mowers and things like that, it's a little bit of a hoarding mentality where you don't want to let go of the things that you've collected over the years.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that that's the scariest part of all this, is that I am dropping most everything that I've gained over the years. It feels like I'm starting new.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you have the means to do it. And I think that's...
And that's it. I'm not in the same situation I was when I was growing up.
Right. And that's kind of it. Like, I get that, because that scarcity mentality really will fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, of course, I grew up poor as well. So there are times around the house I'm just like, no, don't throw that away. Like, keep this. But I've gotten so good over the years. I'm at a point now where I'm very much like, I don't care. Throw it away.
Which, it's so weird. I'm that way about the most random things. But then other things, I'm like, no, like, I can't not have that.
Which, I get that. I feel like... I'm really bad about the old, like, sentimentality items that are around the house where I'm like, I don't really care whether or not that stays. I'm mm-hmm. not a super sentimental person. I used to be. I used to be horribly sentimental.
Same.
And I was actually thinking, funny enough, I was thinking about this while I was weed eating right before this, because I realized, like, I'm struggling to empathize in ways that used to be so natural for me. Our neighbor next door passed away on Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was probably in his, if he wasn't in his 80s, he was in his late 70s. Really nice guy. He was getting up there in years, but he'd seemed like fine. He just seemed like he was getting around a little slower, and that happens. I don't know what happened. I just found out on Saturday when we were walking by, and his girlfriend stopped us to let us know. And so that was kind of like a weird, I know that a lot of times, you know, you don't want to make somebody else's tragedy about yourself. And that's not what I'm trying to do necessarily. I'm just using it as sort of a venue to express this specific thing that's happening to me.
Oh my God. Merlin is very involved right now.
He wants to be on the mic. But I used to like, I used to feel like that's something that I would have gone out of my way to do something nice for her. And it just hasn't occurred to me, I guess. I guess I've been so self-absorbed with certain things that, you know, I was out in the back weed eating, and it came to mind because I unconsciously looked over the fence, because a lot of times they set out back on their underneath like one of the little like awnings that they have. I think it's a lanai, but I didn't want to make it that fancy. So I was out back weed eating, and I just kind of looked up to see if they were there, and then of course it occurred to me, and then that got me thinking, like, you know, there was a time that you would really get emotional about something like this, and it's just not happening the way it used to. And I can't tell if it's cynicism, or if I'm guarding my emotions much closer, or if those two things are actually the same thing.
I can definitely say that I'm empathetic in certain scenarios, but I have lost that super soft side where I'm always like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, because my brain's like, this is life. Yeah. Death happens.
Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those things where it's so, death does happen, but it's just hard to equate it to yourself on a personal level sometimes, even though I've experienced my share of death. But like, even for people in my life that I knew, I have a really hard time maintaining a sentimentality about it. Like, after my grandmother or my grandfather passed away, there's stuff that my family was suggesting that I go get and keep. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to keep anything. Like, I know it's not, it's going to make me sound like a bad grandchild, but like,
how do I explain this? I don't connect with material things in the sense that I have to, like, it brings me good emotions.
Like, I keep certain things, and I do keep certain things for that emotional connection. Like, you know, I've got one of my best friends from high school, passed back in 2016, and I've got his, in memoriam, like, thing that they handed out at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go see his grave pretty regularly because it's near my grandma's house. And so yeah. I will go visit her. And then after I see her, I'll go see his grave. And if I remember to, I'll pick up a Pez dispenser because he used to collect them, and I'll leave it there. So things like that, I can be sentimental, but I don't know. I feel like I'm bad about it. As a whole.
I just had this talk with my therapist, I think last session, might have been the session before. in one of my closets, I have a box or a tub of Hot Wheel cars. That yes. is my one thing that I'm attached to. That I don't let people see. I don't bring it out to people. It is mine. Nice. And it is like my safe little spot because I played with them as a kid constantly. They were kind of my escape from everything. And so it's I'm very protective of those. Those are a very strong bond and a memory from when I was a child. That's about the only thing I can think of that I'm like super stuck to.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that would make a lot of sense. I feel like, do I have anything like that for myself?
Which I didn't realize it for years. And then one day I was like, oh, you know what? Those Hot Wheel cars, like, those live. I will not get rid of them. Ooh, excuse me. I won't do anything with them. Sorry.
Surprised that is not happening to me right
so
now.
So tired. It doesn't help that I had a little client meeting after work today. We had beers. And so now I'm just like,
oh, I would be asleep right now.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, I guess all that is to circle back around and say, like, I'm a little jealous that you get to purge so much. Even though I know it'll probably be uncomfortable in certain aspects, but like, there's just something so nice about that decluttering of things, because having things is also a double-edged sword. And on the one hand, you have a thing, but on the other hand, you actually do stress about having the thing. Like, owning something causes stress just inherently.
Yeah.
And so getting rid of all those things is like a way of getting rid of stress.
Well, and it's, I have a lot of annoying memories with a lot of this stuff. For example, this desk, I'll never forget when my ex bitched about it because it was inconvenient for a Mac. Because it has a little half hutch on the back that I've taken off, but, and so it's things like that, that I'm just like, this is so fucking annoying. Like, I have all these annoying memories over this.
Yeah. I can see that.
My spare bedroom set, my nightstand has a little mess up on it because I don't know what he fucking did, but he did something. And so I'm just like, I don't know what it is. It rings me about that. And then I have a piano in my living room that, oh my God, I remember he bitched about because he's like, it's ugly. I hate it. And it was a gift from one of my friends. And it's just all this shit that I'm like, I don't, like, I know it doesn't mean anything, but I hate remembering that. I hate remembering who I was.
Yeah.
It's not specifically him. It's who I was to make a relationship work at that time.
Yeah. And I get that. I get that a lot, actually, because Lord knows I've done my fair share of it, but, you know, you and I are also people pleasers to the core.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of that, and we have a hard time drawing boundaries. And yeah,
it's, I think that's why this change has so much its impact on me, because I'm excited to feel a little bit more free.
Honestly, that freedom sounds lovely. I think it's just the prospect of being able to pick up and move at the drop of a hat is sort of I think that's right now the thing that I'm mostly jealous of that's happening yeah. for you, because we could technically do the same thing, but we just, you know, I don't know when we'll be moving. It probably won't be for at least a couple of years. And
well, for years, I kept just going, I can't move. This house is better than anything I could rent. I like the backyard and I like my freedom. And so then I would just immediately write off everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't do this. And so for years, and then just recently I was like thinking really hard about it. And I was like, I don't know, that freedom of purging all of this responsibility for a bit and just, I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's very much like being in this space in life is so, so difficult, because we're at this age where we have careers, or at least we have like adult jobs. Duh. And we are not in a space where we're necessarily like trying to just survive every day like so many people are.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like it gets repetitive. It gets very monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
And that monotony has been eating away at me a lot lately.
Yeah, me too.
And so I get it, because I think a change like that can sort of upset the balance of things in your life, where you can get something that feels like it's different. And then that amount of freedom can, you know, honestly, it can help with your cynicism, because you're not constantly like fighting homeownership.
Well, and on top of that, I live on a part of town that nobody I know am close with lives anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, so if I want to hang out with anyone, I have to drive 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, fuck it. If I just do that and live downtown, I am literally across the street from one of my friends. I am half a mile from more friends. I'm a mile or two from another friend. And I was like, I'm just so much closer to everyone that I see on a regular basis.
Which I get that, because that's been another motivator for us to move to Minneapolis. And not that we don't love our friends here, but like, I felt like the friendships we had there were very easy. I feel like when we're there, they click on, and there's not really any like prelude work to, I guess there's no like chit chat stuff to have to build up to have like real conversation. That never really happens. You could just go and have that friendship and relationship. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that a lot of the time here. With like, again, I've got plenty of friends that are, it's exactly like that, but it's just not the same number of people that I could just be like, yeah, let me go hang out with this person because I know I'm gonna have a good time and it's gonna be a real easy, low-key, like low effort hangout.
Yeah.
With that number of people.
I will say that over the past couple of years, I worked hard to define my friendships of the people that I hang out with to be people that are not an effort to be friends with.
It's, I think what's getting me is we've been really trying hard to socialize more. Because we were so bad about it for the longest time. And so we've been trying to get back into it, and it's difficult for me anyways. Like, you and like, you're super easy to get along with for the most part. And, you know, there's sometimes you're just a whole big old bitch. No.
Right. You're not wrong.
I know. Yeah. Me too, though. And yeah, I've got plenty of friends here that it is like that, but like, it's just not, it's not always like that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I get it.
And I feel like when you're in a space where you can sort of reset your social barometer, you can help define your relationships from scratch. And then you just can completely avoid or omit those without having any sort of like past baggage on them. Not that I couldn't just do that now, but I have a hard time with it because I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah. It's so hard not to people please.
Ugh, I know. I fucking know.
Have definitely have been focusing more on it to make sure that I'm comfortable and not making myself uncomfortable to make others comfortable.
Which I definitely, I'm doing a better job of doing.
Same. Definitely not perfect.
Yeah. I mean, definitely not perfect.
Still working on it.
Saturday, we were in the car. We're out and about having fun. We're getting out and just doing some stuff together because Joe and I haven't done like a date day in a while. And my mom calls. And we'd been debating whether or not she was going to be in town the next day for me to actually go and visit with her and like go maybe get dinner with her and my dad. And I'm waiting to find out because I want to know what the plan is.
Right.
And my family is so bad at the plan. They don't know what the plan is. Nobody ever knows what the fucking plan is. And I just do not like that when it comes to social engagements. I need to know in advance.
Yep.
So anyways, she calls me and then asks like randomly in the conversation if she can stay the night on Sunday night, if she and my dad can. And I immediately said yes, because I felt like I was supposed to say yes.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that guilt, you know? And then I got off the phone. I was like, why did I fucking do that? I didn't even talk to Joe, and it's his house too. Like, what the fuck? And so I immediately just called back and was like, hey, no, I forgot we've got somebody else staying here. Because I was like, I needed to put up a boundary there, and I didn't, but I immediately corrected myself. So I'm proud of myself for that because I fucking went and corrected it.
Yeah. I just kind of had my own scenario where I think it was a couple weeks ago, which shocking this happened. My parents texted me and they were just like, hey, we're having a cookout on Labor Day. We'd want to see you. And I was like, well, let me figure out what the hell's going on. And kind of by the time the weekend came, I was like, I don't want to drive up there.
Yeah.
September 4th is 9 years that I've had this house. And damn. One time in 2016 or 17, I don't even remember what year it was, they came down and were here for like an hour or two so they could grab a TV that I was getting rid of and bring back to my sister.
Oh my God.
That is the only time I've ever seen them at this house. And my brain is like, why am I supposed to keep dropping everything, scheduling around, and driving 3 hours to come see you?
And so when you've
never returned it.
That's the thing. And that's the thing with both my mom and my dad, and God love them, that they're so self-absorbed that they have no idea what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. Like, they don't know my interests are. They don't know what my projects and things like I tell them, like, they know I have a podcast. They just don't know anything about it because they've never gone out of their way to listen to anything.
Same.
And they don't ask me about it. Like, they never, I couldn't tell you the last time my dad asked how I was other than just to tell me what he's got going on. And it's the same thing with my mom. It's just my dad does it so much more frequently, but like, it's never about me and what's going on with me. Like, it's easy for them to ask how work is going, and I think they're really comfortable with that question.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know, it's work, man. Like, I don't particularly love or hate it. I just go do it.
And it pays bills. That's it. They tell me all the time, like, I'm happier now in the sense that I don't despise what I do. I'm still kind of in this rut thing where I'm like, I'm not sure if this current company is just what I need anymore. But if anybody from work's listening, don't talk about this. but for a while, I was stuck in this unhappy rut. Like, I was unhappy. And I remember my parents asked me once, they're like, oh, how's work? And I was like, I hate it. I hate it so much. And I'm like, I've got to change jobs. I've got to do something. I literally hate everything. I despise going to work. I'm so unhappy. And they were just like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I got to go shower. So I walked off and showered. And then as I was like in the hallway. They didn't even like get quiet about this. They're like, he's stupid if he thinks he should leave that job, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, I love how you're so focused on making sure that I have a job and not about my mental health. That's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's how it always has been with them, though.
And it's just me. Yeah, I've recently had the conversation with him about it. I sat there and, because I said, you know, if I switch and go somewhere else, then blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, well, you know, as long as you have this job and blah, 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 you're fine. I was like, so I know that you guys are saying that stuff because you're comfortable that way, but not everyone lives that life where they can't leave this comfort bubble that they've built. Like, I have felt suffocated in my comfort bubble, which is why this entire change that I'm starting now is happening, because I can't feel suffocated anymore.
Yeah. You got to do something to change it. And honestly, I mean, it sounds like you're on the right track.
It's just been bottling up and bottling up. And finally, it just blew up. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
And I feel like a lot of times we carry those things around because it was our expectations of our parents, and we're
exactly
trying to shut those off of our shoulders so often.
I kept so much and did so much because for a long time I was like, this, you know, shows you how successful I am. And now I'm like, I don't give a shit what you think of me. My problem is right now this is such a rebellious change for me that I feel like, what, you know, when you watch like social media and you watch a gay guy like dye his hair blonde and you're like, oh no, yes, he's spiraling. That's kind of what I feel like with all of this change right now. It's so different for me. I'm like,
well, I'm proud of you for taking steps at least.
Well, thank you. I'm proud of myself. Oh my God, what a great time to end.
What timing?
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.